Welcome to the Harvest Bible Chapel Austin podcast. We apologize, but this week's broadcast has some technical issues.
Even in laziness, is that not a pursuit of life? Pursuing with everything that you have to do nothing. But even in trying to do nothing, you're giving it everything you have and you're finding ways to accomplish that objective. Every single human being has a pursuit in their life. And what we're going to look at this morning is that Christ in you changes your life pursuit. If Christ lives in you, you no longer just have any pursuit in life that you want. We have a singular, clear pursuit that God has called us to. And this morning we're going to look at five elements of the new life pursuit. Five elements of your new life pursuit. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, so we can pick up the flow of thought that we had last week. Follow along as I read verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of His body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the Word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me. Father, I ask that You would bless the preaching of Your Word this morning, that every person that is here and listening to my voice, that You would soften their hearts, and that You would come alive through Your Word, and that the Holy Spirit would change hearts and minds right now. Amen. So, Christ in us changes our pursuit. And here is the first element that you need to understand about this new pursuit. It is a singular passion. Our new life pursuit is to be a singular passion. Look it back at verse 28. Him we proclaim. Pretty simple, really. Very summarized. A singular focus and pursuit. This passion is Him we proclaim. Well, who are we talking about? Who's the Him? Well, we look at the antecedent in the previous verse. That is Christ. Christ in us is the one that we are to proclaim. And I say that it is a singular passion because I really believe that God has created us to be creatures who naturally want to proclaim, and the idea here with proclaim is publicly make known the things that we really love and enjoy. We know this to be true. Think about sports. What would sports be like if you weren't allowed to talk about it? Boring. So, you watch your favorite team, and they get the big win of the season, the one that everybody didn't believe they could pull off, and they actually do it, and then you can't talk about it. You go to work, you can't talk about it. You can't call your buddy who's also a big fan and talk about it. See, part of our lives and how we are made is that what we love and enjoy, it's not fully realized until we get to express it and talk about it and proclaim it to others. Maybe you're not into sports, but whatever you're into, this is the case. Part of going to the Grand Canyon and the joy of it is coming back and trying to explain to people the reality of how big and how vast and how beautiful it is. art, music, your children, everything. You love to talk about it. Food. You go to your favorite restaurant and you're not allowed to sit there as you eat it and say anything about it. So on and on the list goes as you continue to add to it. Our new life pursuit is to be about Christ in us to the point that we proclaim Him. And I know for some of you, you're thinking, I'm not really a person that gets really worked up. I'm not really a person that's just all about proclaiming and making things known. That's not really who I am. But I would challenge that whatever you find to be the most important thing in your life, you do make known. You do make known to some group of people around you. I think specifically when it comes to Christ, I'm reminded of when I first met Jamin White. Some of you know Jamin. Jamin is not the loudest guy in the room. He's not really one that demands the center of attention if you don't know him. Actually fairly reserved at most times. And when I first met Jamin and Lindsay and I had dinner with his family, you know, a few words were said. We talked about something that was great. We're trying to get to know him. We go to his house. We start to have coffee. We start really getting into the things of the Lord and we start talking about Christ in our lives. And all of a sudden, Jamin just starts winding up. I mean, this guy is cranking and it gets faster and faster. And I'm like, wow, this is a totally different guy than I was eating dinner with. And then as I'm thinking that, he looks at me and says, sorry, sometimes, actually every time I talk about Christ, I just get really excited. Why? Because I believe that Jamin understands this very point, and that is that he has a new life pursuit. He understands the glory of what Christ in him really means. And because he knows what Christ in him really means, he can't help it, even though it's not really his personality, to let it out and tell everyone how amazing it really is. See, even quiet people, when it's down to the last second of the game, and their quarterback throws that final pass and lobs it into the air, and they have a touchdown that wins the game, even that quiet person can't help but stand up and cheer. But how much greater is Christ in us than all of the touchdowns that have ever been or ever will be? He is to be our singular passion, the one that we proclaim.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you why you should amen, because we've already looked back in verse 15 and following that He is supreme over all of creation. That right there is worthy to talk about. But then it doesn't stop there, because in verse 18 we find out that Jesus Christ is head of the church. He is supreme over the church, over this body. That is worth proclaiming. But then He doesn't stop, because He goes on to tell us that He is the one who is supreme over all salvation, that He is reconciling all things to Himself. That is worth proclaiming. And then He goes on to say that our suffering at this present time is not a suffering that we do alone, but we suffer with Christ because He indwells us, and that even as we suffer, we can proclaim the glories of Jesus Christ because He is in us and we suffer for His sake. Our new life passion is first to be a singular passion, and that is one that proclaims Christ and Him alone. But think about all of the different things that you and I often want to proclaim. Think about what many churches are proclaiming, maybe even right now. We talked about in Harvest 101 a few weeks ago that some might be coming here and thinking, man, we talk about Jesus a lot. It just seems like Jesus and more of Jesus. Like, are we going to get to something practical? And we discussed throughout that nothing could be more practical than Jesus. Jesus is what we are all about. Why? because that's what God the Father decided to do, was that He would send His Son and it would be all about Jesus. And when it's all about Jesus, it's all about the Father. And we worship Him. But yet, it is sad that you can go a lot of places and hear a lot of things proclaimed other than Jesus. See, Paul doesn't say here, I want you to proclaim the system called Christianity. I want you to proclaim the religious duties. I want you to proclaim all of the ways in which people are to change their external lives, and I want you to moralize them. It says we proclaim Him, and when it says we proclaim Him, that means we proclaim every single thing about Him, starting with the fact that it's all about the divine person, Jesus Christ, if you ever want to move to this new pursuit. It's all about this divine person, Jesus Christ, if you ever want to have your life transformed. And that it's not about a system, it's not about your external deeds, it's not about all these things. First and foremost, it is about Jesus Christ. And when we proclaim Christ, then we can begin to move into what that means and the implications for your life. But only when we proclaim Christ. And even when we get into how this is to change your life, we don't leave Christ behind and move to now how your life is to be different. We bring Christ into every single thing that we proclaim. He is the reason why we want to change our life. And He, as we will see in a minute, is the very ability to change our lives. We proclaim Him. And I hope that if you have come here more than one Sunday, you realize that we proclaim Christ. And we don't just proclaim Christ through His Word, as Paul really has in mind here, but we proclaim Christ through our singing. We are very concerned about what songs will be sung. Is Christ exalted? We are concerned that Jesus Christ is worshipped in our children's ministry, that He is exalted and lifted up in our small groups, in every single thing we do. And if you ever feel that Jesus Christ is not being proclaimed here, or we're doing something that isn't making much of Christ, please come talk to me. Well, the first element of our new life pursuit is a singular passion, and the second element is a clear purpose. Our new life pursuit is a clear purpose. It's not a lot of things. It's not ambiguous. Verse 28, at the end of verse 28, he says, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So Christ is the one we proclaim. Why? For what point? Well, it's for this clear purpose, that we present everyone mature in Christ. That's our goal. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. What does it mean to be mature? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This is what it means to be mature. And He gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. See, this is who we are to be. Mature Christians, this is what we want to present to Christ. Not those that are immature, but those who are mature. And I believe that when we look at Scripture and understand why maturity, we begin to realize that maturity is about becoming a better worshiper. As we grow in our understanding of who Jesus Christ is, the overflow of that is that we want to worship Him. See, as we've been walking through Colossians chapter 1, I can't help but every Sunday want to worship. But then it's a funny cycle. Because as you begin to get to know who the Lord is even more, and as you proclaim Him even more, you want to worship. And after you finish worshiping, what do you want to do? You want to hear the Word. You want to learn more about Him. Man, if what I learned about Him brings me to that kind of worship, then I want to learn more. I want to know more about this Jesus. And then what happens after you learn more about Jesus? You want to worship. So we come back over here and we worship. And we worship, and then what happens? I want to learn more about Jesus. I want to know who He is. And you find yourself in this constant cycle and spiral upwards to knowing Him, proclaiming Him, and worshiping Him with everything that you have. See, being mature, we understand, is so much more than just what we look like. One of the things that I honestly just hate seeing is when on TV you see these little bitty girls and they're dressed up and dolled up to where they look like they're about 35 or 40. And they're 10 maybe. And these little girls walk around and they're in these competitions or whatever, and they're made to look like adult women. But I don't know anybody that would actually look at that little girl and say, she's mature. No, she may look mature, but we don't actually believe that she's mature. Why? Because we know that that is a little girl, and inside of her is still a little baby girl that knows very little about life and how to function in this world. And what Paul has in mind here is not people who have learned how to look mature. That we learn the right things to say, and that maybe we even study and learn and know much about who Jesus Christ is. But we only learn it so that we can look better and know more and show up to small group this week so we can tell people what we know about Jesus. But this idea of maturity is the same idea we understand. Maturity starts from within. And that as we get to know who Christ is, He changes our very hearts. He changes our thinking. And we begin to see every single thing in life in a whole new way. And then, and only then, are we changed in the way we look and present ourselves and talk and act because of the maturity that has happened on the inside. I know that this is the very purpose of our ministry here. And that is to make people mature in Christ. That's what we're here to do. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that because we're so caught up in all the tasks, and you're thinking to yourself, I come early on Sunday morning and I set up pipe and drape and I run cords and I work in the children's ministry. And it becomes so task-driven that you completely forget why we do what we do. We are here so that we can present everyone mature in Christ because we love Christ so much that we believe He deserves all the worship in the world. And we know that the only way He will receive all of the worship that He so deserves is that I am concerned that Starsky matures in Christ. I am concerned that my wife matures in Christ. I am concerned that the Ingrams mature in Christ. And when I am concerned about you maturing in Christ, and you're concerned about me maturing in Christ, then all we're going to do is begin to create greater and greater and pure worship to Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing is that that happens and can happen in every single aspect of our life. Here, right now, as I preach, this is what Paul has in mind, that he is proclaiming Christ to everyone he has the opportunity. And that his reason for doing it is to make people mature. We have to understand this. Because if we don't understand this, we will find ourselves as a body of believers chasing all kinds of things in this world. But we want to be people who seek maturity in one another. Christ changes our life pursuit. And our new life pursuit has a singular passion, it has a clear purpose, and it has a bigger picture. A bigger picture. Three times in verse 28, Paul says, everyone. We are warning everyone, teaching everyone to present who? Everyone. Everyone. That is our new picture. That we, our life pursuit is about everyone. Now, as simplistic as this is very hard for us to grasp a lot of times because in our culture, it's so much about me. Sweet, precious me. And I am fearful that our church and Christ and everything that we're about has been centralized upon sweet me. And everything that you're doing is about sweet you, and you desire to become mature because you want it to help your marriage, you want it to help your parenting, you want it to help you and your relationships, you want it so that the Lord will bless you maybe financially, you fill in the blank, but you have something else in mind other than everyone else around you and making Christ known and making others mature in Him. It all has to do with you. And so though you may proclaim Christ, it's not proclaiming Christ so that you can worship Him. You proclaim Christ and what He can do for you.
This is not a private home. This is not a one-man This is a team event.
This is a team event in which we are all in it to win it together. We win together, we lose together. So, our picture must be much bigger than the old pursuit of whatever your life was before Christ, where it was all about what you wanted to do and what made you happy. This new, bigger picture is about everyone. Everyone. And because it is about everyone, we have to stop and look at our lives and ask ourselves the question, how concerned am I for those even right here in this room? This is the reason why we have small groups. This is the reason why I'm constantly challenging you to have one another over into your homes, to live life together, to go have coffee together, to run errands together, because we are trying to present one another mature in Christ. But it doesn't just happen by osmosis. We can't just hope that one day this works out. If I want to present everyone mature in Christ, that means I've got to be involved in your life. You've got to be involved in my life. Do not allow yourself to be robbed of the great joy of what this means, that we are a body. A body in which Christ lives, but we are one. And if you isolate yourself, you will find not only do you not see maturity happening in your life, but you won't find maturity happening in the lives around you either. But it's sad because it's so common. And I talk to many, many people who are caught up in very immature things in their life, still caught up in so many very immature sins and ways of thinking in their life. Why? Even though they have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, still like a little infant. Why is it? Because they have isolated themselves and they've said, this is about me and my walk with the Lord, and they've tried to walk by themselves. energy and time and money and resources we want to pour into our children to get them to certain places? Is the number one thing you want to see in your child, parents? Maturity in Christ. Worshippers of Christ. Because if it is, it won't just happen. Husbands, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church, even giving His very life for her. How are you doing with your wife? Are you doing everything you possibly know what to do? Praying and coming alongside of your wife with no other hope than to see her presented. I didn't say anything to them. I didn't really know them, and it was a little awkward, obviously, that kind of conversation. Like, man up and get to the driveway, guys. But see, in that situation, that's the idea of admonishing, would be to bring one of those guys alongside and say, can I just talk to you for a second? Let me help you in your thinking to understand what's going on here and to put into light what they are doing wrong so that they can see what they should be doing that is right. But the problem is that by not talking to them, by not admonishing them, it gave me the ability to not only go back out to my wife and the other couples and laugh about it, but it gave me an opportunity to have an illustration in my sermon. But see, as funny as that is, and as light a moment as that was, the reality is that there is admonishing that needs to happen among us constantly. But oftentimes, we are avoiding it. Why? Because it's a whole lot easier to look at people who are caught up in all kinds of crazy things that we just don't understand how you could ever do that. If you want to be mature in Christ, it's easier to just call off. You won't believe this. The other day, I was with Josh, and you won't believe, I mean, the things that Josh is doing. It's unbelievable. And so now we start to have that conversation. And then we're getting to have a conversation, and we're both starting to feel a lot better about this whole thing, right? Because, see, Starsky and I are very mature. Josh is very immature. And now we're feeling good. So it's better to just leave the admonishing alone because we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. I also know that if I go and talk to Josh, not only does it ruin this party right here, but when I go talk to Josh and I bring the correction into his life that he needs, what door did I just open for him to come correct me and to admonish me? Well, I don't know that I want all that. I would rather avoid that. Josh might come start talking to me about my life and just keep enjoying my party right here with Starsky because it makes me feel pretty good. And yet Scripture says that if we are to present every person in Christ mature, we are to have these conversations. And guess what? These conversations and warnings are not very often easy. They're difficult. They take a lot of prayer. They take a lot of wisdom. They take a lot of preparation, especially of our heart as we go to talk to them, making sure that we do it out of love, making sure that we do it out of a care and concern for them, and ultimately because we want to see Christ worship. A lot of work goes into it, and let's be honest, it's a whole lot easier to just say, hey, we're all sinners. I got my issues. Why would I worry about going and talking to you? You have issues, I have issues, we all have issues. Besides, Jesus said, don't go talk to your brother who has the splinter in his eye when you have a plank in your eye. Well, interesting, he does say that. Only then to help us understand that we don't leave it there. We don't not warn one another because we got planks in our eye. What do we do? We go and take the plank out of our eyes so that we can go talk to one another. But our pursuit is often laziness, and we don't want to do the hard work. But we must be people who love one another and love Christ enough to have these kinds of conversations, to warn, to say you're in this ditch over here and you don't even realize it, and you lovingly care for them, you bring them back on to the street. And then the second one is more of the positive. We not only warn, but we teach everyone. This is the idea of you're not in the ditch right now, and I want to come alongside of you and teach you so that we can keep this thing out of the ditch. Again, equally a concern for one another, but oftentimes to teach someone means to first understand and spend time in God's Word ourselves, and then it's to understand and know the person, because to teach them requires work. And our default is what is the easier way. But this is to be happening not only in the preaching of the Word on a Sunday morning, though that happens. And I hope that even this morning, as you hear yourself maybe being admonished, or you hear yourself being taught, that it brings you to a love and a maturity for Christ. But this is also what's going to be happening in small groups. So I shamelessly plug small groups again. We began last week. It was fantastic. You need to be in a small group because you need to be admonished and you need to be taught. And you need to admonish and teach others because you love Christ and desire to see everyone made mature. But let's be careful, because again, this is not the idea that we're presenting everyone mature in Christ, and that is going around chasing everybody about what they are doing or not doing. Yes, we are concerned about our lives, the actions that we do, the words that we speak, but we are more fundamentally concerned about what is going on in your heart. We don't ever want Sunday morning, our time throughout the week, our small groups, to be so caught up in the external that we don't care and love people enough to see what's really going on. Because again, it's much easier to point out things in people's lives we see, but it takes serious studying and prayer and discernment to see why it's happening. I think of Paul David Tripp, who I love and has an illustration, and I think it fits it well here. And that is that as we mature, we are this, we're a tree, we're growing, and we are to bear fruit. But a tree that bears fruit only bears fruit when it is doing well inside, right? That it is roots are running deep, that it's extracting the water, and that the whole process inside the tree is happening. Again, what do you see? Thank you. Father, I am thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for these people that come because they want to hear your word preached. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who love Christ. And Lord, I thank you that though there are many people who preach the gospel better than I do, nobody can preach a better gospel. We love you. And I ask that you would help us to be all about the pursuit of presenting everyone complete and mature in Christ. We love you, and we ask right now that you would grant us your power and grant us your energy, because we are weak and we are tired because we're doing it on our own. We need you, and I thank you that you can do above and beyond all we can think or imagine in changing our hearts and lives. Do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.